Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy in chapter number 28. Deuteronomy in chapter number 28. We are beginning our mini-series for this year of the power of the name of God. And we're learning how to use God's name. Now, later on, we're going to actually learn the different names of God, but we want to start off by learning how to use God's names. We gave an introduction this morning, and now we want to build upon that introduction, and we find our way to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter number 28. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, and we find ourselves in Deuteronomy in chapter 28. Look with me if you don't mind. We'll put our attention on one verse to start off with. The book of Deuteronomy 28, and notice with me in verse number 58. Deuteronomy 28, and in verse number 58, we have this recorded. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. If thou will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. And notice, if you don't mind, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice this, what is the purpose of understanding the Word of God, where it says that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. That thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. And with this, we're going to understand how to use God's name by understanding that we need to fear this glorious and fearful name. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would help us to understand the principle, understand what you're teaching, not only here, but throughout the Bible, with that we should have a fear of your name. Understanding how powerful of a name it is. Understanding the importance of that name. I know that with my human words and my low ability, I have no way of being able to convey the importance of this message and the importance of fearing your name. But through your precious Spirit, you could give us spiritual understanding. Through your precious Word, you could give us the context and the structure that we need. And we're depending upon those things so that we can walk away understanding that we need to be fearful of your wonderful, glorious, powerful name. And that we could use it properly within our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we dive into the text itself, we need to make sure that we define our terms. The Bible says here that we need to fear the glorious and fearful name. So we start off with understanding we need to know what this word fear means. Now, a lot of people will have the idea of fear that I fear lightning striking. I fear a reprisal. And they have the idea of saying, well, I'm afraid that something's going to happen to me. I'm afraid. There's a bone-shaking fear. There are others that will try to define fear as a deep respect, a deep-seated respect. And they say, well, which one is it? And I will reply, yes. It carries both of them, but if we want to be more specific, the fear of God comes from an emotional response based of our intimate knowledge of Him. Meaning that the more that we get to know Him, the more that we will develop a proper biblical fear, which does lead as a result of a scared reverence and a holy reverence. Let me give an example. Because my children know me, and I got three kids, there are certain things that they will not do. Have you ever heard someone reply, or maybe you said yourself, well, if I did that, my parents would kill me? Do they really think that their parents would murder them? We have some kids saying yes, but we have the idea that that's comes a proper fear, a proper respect. Because I don't want to violate this principle because I know it will hurt them. I know it will violate what they believe. I have a fear of not doing this. That's the type of fear that we have towards the Lord. It does include a holy respect. It does include a knee-shaking fear. But it all comes from an emotional response that we get from knowing who God is. So when we come to the concept that we may fear this glorious and fearful name, it comes with it by an emotional response that we develop from our intimate knowledge of Him. So the question is asked, again, as we're just starting to build up before we hit the text, how do we develop a fear of God? That's a good question. How do we get to know God? Well, may I quite simply just give you the answer to the entire message? God's Word. It is through God's Word we get to know Him. It is through God's Word God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. It is by obeying God's Word that we get to learn more about who He is as we walk beside Him, as we learn of Him. It is through God's Word we develop a proper fear of God. Now, I'm going to cheat and give you the ending of it right now. What is the ending of this? If you're not in God's Word, you will not have a fear of God. Quite simple. That's why we say the greatest thing that you could do on a daily basis is to be in the Word of God yourself. Why? Because it's through the Word of God we know Him. And if we get to the place where we are disobeying God, it's quite simply because you haven't been in your Bible. You haven't been close to Him. If there's a distance that occurs, that fear goes away. Let's just say that Krista, my youngest daughter, who currently has somewhat of a fear of Dad, that she decides she's going to go live on her own and not have any communication for me for 10 years. That's quite a distance. When she comes back, is she going to necessarily have a healthy fear of me? No, because distance has lessened that fear. Does that make sense? When we spend time away from God, we stop fearing who He is. He's not as important. Pleasing Him and understanding Him becomes less important. Does that make sense? So as we go through here, let's get some context within here, and let's look at a couple different passages. Let's look, first of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Right, Max? Deuteronomy 28, and notice with me verse 58. It says, if thou will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. This is going to become an important passage that here God is giving instructions through Moses that when the children of Israel come into the promised land, that what they need to do is be reminded of God's word. We're going to see this carried out in the book of Joshua. So when Joshua leads the people to the promised land and they lead him to the place where they've conquered the land, the very first thing Joshua is going to do is copy the word of God for himself. He is going to make his own personal copy of the Word of God. Then what he is going to do is bring them to the mounts of blessing and the mount of cursing, Mount Ebriam, or Ebal, and Mount Gizram. What he's going to do is he's going to take the children of Israel and he's going to put half of them and line them up towards Mount Gizram and the other one in Mount Ebal. Now, this is going to be interesting because there is a huge valley. And then on one mountain is going to be lush and green and beautiful and bountiful. And on the other mountain, it is going to be rocky and barren, nothing growing on it. And he's going to line the people up, and they're going to have parts. They're going to be able to have their Bible, and it's almost going to be a sing-along. That he's going to give something about the blessings, and then almost like a chorus reading together, the people who are on the mount that has all the green, all the lush, they're going to read the blessings of God. Then Joshua is going to lead the people to give the cursings, and like a choir, the people are going to read together the cursings of God, and it's going to be backdropped by the barren rock. So you're going to have the backdrop to try to put a picture in their mind. And the principle is, you obey God's word, you get blessings. You disobey God's word, you get the cursings. And as all of this is being laid out, and the principle in mind, Joshua has written his own copy of the Word of God, making a copy of it, that the people have it, and they're out loud saying the blessings and the cursings. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, gives us the reason. What is going on? If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book. Now, again, we're not reading the entire context, but in the midst of it, it's saying that we're supposed to obey God's word. And here, it is specifically saying, why should we read God's word? Why should we obey God's word? The purpose is that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. We understand the principle that we find in the book of Deuteronomy here. Why is it that God split up the people and had them sit the blessings and the curses? Why was it that Joshua had to write out the word of God for himself? Why was it the people that had to recite God's word? Because it is through God's word we learn more about God, specifically his names, that we may fear, respect, have an emotional response to who God is. And we learn that by obeying God's word, by reading God's word, by understanding God's word. That it is through God's word that we develop the proper fear, respect, awe, and emotional response. Now, why is this so important? Because when we're not in God's word, we don't have this. Why is it so many people are so flippant about the Bible? They joke about sin. They joke about not reading God's word or being in it. It's no big deal. You understand, if you know the Bible, it is very much a big deal. When people get to that place, it's because there's no closeness, no intimacy, no emotional response to who God is. It is through God's word we learn about him. We only understand truth by words, meaning that you don't understand truth by pretty colors. Pretty colors go in there, oh, what an amazing truth. You don't understand truth by just some type of dream. You don't understand truth by just having some type of tune without words. Truth can only be expressed by words. And the only way we get to know who God is personally and intimately is through his word. There is no other way. There's no idea that I need to have more dreams to know more about God. God hasn't chosen to reveal himself through dreams. He has given us his complete word of God. He hasn't done it by experiences. God has chosen to give us the word of God. And as we get in the word of God, we develop a knowledge of him. This knowledge of him helps us to have the proper emotional response that we may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. With that, let's explore some other passages that give the same principle. Notice with me in Psalm 86. Psalm 86. In Psalm 86, once again, we have another passage that is going to give this same principle of knowing God through His Word that we may fear Him. We understand here in Psalm 86, we see the greatness and grace of God revealed through His Word. The greatness and grace of God revealed through His Word. Notice with me Psalm 86. Let's begin at verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among all the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. In here, the psalmist is writing, and he is admitting that he's a sinner in need of a Savior. But this is a great God who's plenteous of mercy, who is ready to forgive, and that because he has called upon him, that for his, great is his mercy toward me, for thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Praise the Lord, there's a great God who is able to deliver us. By the way, how do we learn about God's ability to deliver us? From his word. It is from his word that we realize that we're a sinner, and because of our sin that we've offended a holy, righteous God, and that we deserve to be separated from him from all eternity in an awful place called hell. But it is through his word that he paid the price for me, and I can personally accept that gift, and he is plenteous of mercy. It is through his word that we learn by experience that in the day of trouble, we can call upon him, and he will answer us because he's a real God. How real is he? Verse 8, among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither is there any works like unto thy works. We can learn by experience by calling upon God, by allowing God to work in our heart, to forgive us of our sins, to answer our prayers, to deliver us from trouble. He is a real God. And we learn this from his precious word. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. So because he's God, here's our response. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear the Lord. Notice this. Where does he says, unite my heart to fear the Lord. Where does it come from? By learning God's ways and obeying God's ways, by being in God's word. Now, as we are beginning this series in this year, where we're placing a great emphasis on the name of God, we need to be reminded that the most important thing we can do on a daily basis is to be in the word of God for ourselves, that we can learn more about him, that we can learn more about his word, that we can know him personally, and that we can depend and use God's names properly because we're staying close to him, because we're being obedient to him. God wants us to know who he is. And if that's true, if we want to know who God is, it begins with not only reading God's word, but obeying God's word. It is through here that we learn to fear and magnify this fearful name. In fact, notice with me in verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. How do we glorify God's name? By learning God's word and obeying God's word. That's how we glorify it, by showing that God is real. Verse 13, for great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. We can glorify God and honor God and his name, but it starts with us knowing God's word, to know him, and obeying God's word and glorify him. If you don't mind, let's go one more passage and let's explore together the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi in chapter number 2, the last minor prophet. So if you find your way to the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, turn to your left and come to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi in chapter number 2. The book of Malachi in chapter number 2. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 4. Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, and that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him to fear, wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. See, one more thing I want to show you tonight is that the messenger's responsibility to proclaim and live God's word. So we've understood that in order for us to develop the proper fear, the proper emotional response, we need to be in God's word for ourselves. It's through God's word that we learn about him. We understand that in order to glorify God's name, it comes from us learning about God's word and obeying God's word. Then as we continue with this, we understand that it is the messenger's responsibility to teach God's word so people can learn more about him. As we are coming to the place where we want to learn more about God's name, we know that we have some responsibilities to read God's word, to obey God's word, but also to be faithful to the preaching of God's word. That it's through the preaching of God's word this year, we're going to learn more about who God is. We're going to learn more about his names. We're going to learn more about how to use God's names. And the preaching of God's word is going to be necessary for us to have that proper fear and to properly glorify God's wonderful and holy name. Notice with me as we look at Malachi chapter 2 again. Verse number 4. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, and that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. This is a reminder that it was the Levites who are responsible in Israel to teach the word of God to everyone else. They were the chosen messengers of that time. Verse 5. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them, so his covenant, his words, to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. That it's God's word that they were supposed to preach. And God's word that brings us to the idea of the fear of God. The emotional response we develop because of our knowledge of him. Verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, the messenger's mouth. The word of God is what they're supposed to teach. And iniquity was not found in his lips, meaning that he has a responsibility of living God's word, not just preaching God's word. And he walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. So because of the preaching of God's word, it caused many to respond to God. This is why the preaching of God's word is so important. That as we preach God's word, that it draws people to, guess what? Read God's word for themselves. To turn to God, to accept his wonderful salvation. It's through the preaching of God's word that it still changes lives. Notice with me in verse number 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. What knowledge are we talking about? God's word. And they shall seek the law of his mouth. Meaning that the people, when the people said, I want to know more about God, of course you could read the Bible, but you should also come with the idea, I want to hear from the preacher, and I want to hear him teach me more about God's law, about who God is, about his wonderful name, how to use it. I want to come in anticipation and learn more about God's wonderful name, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. As we come today, we're not having a long message, but we want to have a simple principle that we spoke about this morning as an introduction, the different ways that we could use God's name, and it was very powerful. Tonight, we want to be reminded that how do we learn about all these ways to use God's name, and how do we learn about God's word or God's names in specific? We learn about it from God's word. And that we should be in God's word ourselves, that during the week you're reading God's word, that during the week you're looking to obey God's word so you can know more about him. And then we look forward to the preaching of God's word with the idea, I want to learn more about who God is. The goal for this year is simple, that we may know him. That we get to know God personally. That we would have a greater knowledge and understanding of who he is, have a more intimate knowledge of who he is. It's all about God and following after him. But it's not going to come by osmosis. It's going to come as we purposely seek after him. God, I want to learn more about you. That as we read our Bibles, Lord, I want to learn more about you. When we come to church services, Lord, I want to learn more about you. God promises that if we seek after him, he would be found. Let's strive, if you don't mind, to seek after God. Be determined to learn more about him and have our own responsibility to read God's word, to obey God's word, and prepare ourselves for the preaching of God's word. That we may know him. Let's go to the Lord together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And not a long message tonight, but one that just reiterates our responsibility, reminds us of our responsibility, that we need to be in God's word ourselves, and not just reading God's word as words on a page, but seeking your word that we could find out more about you, that we could learn more about you, that we show up to church services desiring that I may know you. Help it to be a year that we intimately get closer with you, that we get to have a close relationship with you, that we may know you in a special way, that you would do something revolutionary, that you would do something to bring revival, that you would help us, that it all begins with you, it all ends with you, that you are the goal. And let it be said by the time that we're done this year, that in every one of our lives, it could be clearly stated, God is my goal. That we may fear the glorious and fearful name of God. Help us to be drawn closer to you. And that you do what we cannot do ourselves, Lord, by your Spirit and by your word, and draw us close to you. Help us to have the desire. Maybe there's someone in here tonight that says, you know, this is nice, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe there's something inside of you, hopefully, that's saying, I do want to get to know God more. I do want to have a close relationship with God. I don't want to be distant. I want to be able to pray and know that he's listening to me. I want to be able to have this friendship that I can have nowhere else. Lord, I'm asking by your Spirit that you would have a spark, something inside of each of our souls that would desire to know you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.